How are you doing this evening? Welcome to this new month of May. I hope it's going to be kind than the one for April. We all have real stories from where our good Lord found us, wiped our tear and saw us through the tough part of our life journey. At some point, the moments of despair, depression, to a point that we may want to give up and question the existence of God. A lot of discouragements to a point that we are depressed, to a point that we even suffer mental losses. Welcome to today's podcast. My name is Simiu Nalianya and I am excited today to share about part of my life story. Before we hear the story, I have some good news here. The Go 20, where we want to reach one, each one of us, to reach at least one person in the society with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news that we spread. Here we go.
What if every person in every city, in every nation, knew the truth about Jesus? The reality is, billions have never heard the gospel, and the majority of Christians are not sharing their faith. You can change that and be a part of 1 billion people worldwide hearing the gospel in May 2020. We need every believer to be a witness. Go 2020 is a movement that believes we can mobilize 100 million people to each share their faith with someone during the month of May. Imagine one church, Christians from all around the world, sharing one message, Jesus Christ, with one world, 193 nations, in 1 month, May 2020. Millions of believers across hundreds of countries are joining in. There's a gospel movement growing. Join Go 2020 for a month of movement. Everyone can reach someone, and together we can reach the world. Go pray, go love, go share. Go 2020.
Now join me up to the end as I'll be sharing some segments of my life story. I hope it's going to be an uplifting story and it's going to give you courage, even for you. Don't give up in whatever condition that you are going through. In 2006, the month of September, it happened to be the saddest month for me, where the sun that month was rising from the west. It was a surprised morning because waking up expecting my father to be there, expecting my mother to be there, but we were shocked the room was empty. So the person that we found was my neighbor. And according to the look of things, things were not adding up. There was something amiss. So she told us that my dad has developed some complication and he was rushed to the hospital. That is my teaching and referrals hospital. Later in the day, noted that my father was admitted at MTRH. So days went on, day one, day two. Mom was there attending my dad in the hospital. And my neighbor, thank God for my neighbor. She used to take care good of us, make sure that we have lunch, we have supper. And day one passed, day two, day three. That it was on Wednesday. But on Thursday, you saw my mom coming, carrying basin and some clothes. And her face was not that happy face. So according to the look of things, it seemed that something had gone wrong, and the bad news were released. My dad was no more. That was a very hard moment, even for me. I was 9 years old at that time, And as a child, actually, I could not understand what was going on until the time that I was a man. That is when I realized that, oh, this is the moment that I really needed my dad. So my dad was gone. My mom was there left without work. So life had changed completely. So burial arrangements were made, and every day, every evening, people were gathering to come and celebrate, in quotes, the life of my dad. So the day of the body to be removed from the morgue arrived, and arrangements were done. At around 5 p.m., the body arrived at the estate for people to view it before it is taken back to where my dad was born. So there was some chaos, of which I could tell there was something that were not adding up, because there are some people who are saying, we want to go with everything from this house because it is our brother, and we want to go with everything for my brother. And for you, that is my mom, you're going to remain here alone. So it was a bit of fight until one of my brother, the brother to my mother, that is my uncle, intervened, and he was so harsh to these people and told them that you cannot take every item from this house and even leave this woman without even children. So we were protected, and we were told, you're not going to that burial. Only later to realize that there was some issue my mother was being accused of. He was being accused of being responsible of my father's death, of which, according to the looks of things, and according even to the post-mortem that was done, it was not an intentional death. It was a cerebral malaria that took my dad down. So at that point and at that moment, the body left. We were left actually here at Eldoret, and the body was shifted to Busia for burial. You can imagine, burial taking place, you are not there. You are, my mother were just left with an empty house. Actually, everything was took. The only thing that were left behind was one mattress that we shared with my mom. That is back in 2006. The funny enough thing, so one of my aunties sacrificed to go, that is the sister to my mother, for the burial. But she was there for a short time. Immediately after the burial, she left. So the burial took place, we never attended. Fast forward, then after that, now we had to shift to go to another rental house, because the quarter that we were living, we could not be accommodated because we were not the staff of that company. So we shifted and we went to a place called Outspan here at Eldoret, and we rented a house, a single room. So my mother did not have work to do. So you can imagine hawking vegetable and doing some house calls to some people in their homes, washing so that she can meet the bill. But one thing that was outstanding and I never forgot, that time my mother received a call, and she was told, this call came from the place where my dad used to work, and she was called, you are expected to go to Nairobi to fill some forms. So my mother made some quick plans and went to Nairobi, and reaching there, she was told that because your husband used to do this and this, you're going to replace in that position. It was surprisingly, because I could not expect something like that to happen. So forward flash, my mother got the job, and she started working. That is 2007. Yeah, from 2006 to 2007 January. She worked there for about 4 months, and there are some pension money that came, of which my mother was very wise. She used that money to buy a plot here at Eldoret and build a house, a small house, a temporary house. So 2007, life changing, being transferred from one primary school to another. That was transferred from Kiamba Primary School to Sariot Primary School, that is in class 4. So after being transferred there and new things happening, catching up, and everything was just ups and down. So that is 2007 November, the heat for election campaigns are very high, and people are talking all manner of things, and the tension is so high at Rift Valley, of which people are being told, if you don't belong to this land, you can move away. That if you are a non, they're saying if you are not a Kalenjin or some sort of things, you're going to be evacuated on. Actually, people are being killed. So the story of post-election violence, I can share that at another time. But 2007, 27th December, things happened. Election were done, results were out, and chaos was everywhere. 31st December, 2007. A church is burned at Kiambaa, and inclusive of some of the primary school being vandalized, and a lot of things happen in that church. I had some of my friends of which we used to school together, that is in class 4. All of them were burned. Actually, it was a bad moment. 2013 is when I had those flashbacks, when this mass memorial service were being held, and these were my friends. They were killed, innocent child. Actually, they were kids. They were being killed in that church. People were inhuman. It was a bad story. For us, we were now going back 2007, December 31st, and houses were being burnt down. We were the only people actually around this area, that is now it is annexed. So houses are being burnt down. People are moving away from town. Things are horrible. Supermarkets are closed down. So my sisters were being taken care of by my aunties. So I was alone with my mom. So we at that moment, God just used a way that we cannot see or understand. Look at this point. 2007, my mother gets a job, buys some plot and build a temporary house. We move in. The place that we used to stay for renting, the place was totally razed down. So I was imagining if we didn't have that plot or a house to move in, actually my life now could be no more. So that is post-election violence. God just saved us in a miraculous way, and everything worked out well. Of which, during that time, first January, we had about a story of people being killed at day broad light, and it was a bad picture. So we hosted some of the people who were displaced, and two families were hosted at our home, of which my mother and I were the only ones. So we had space for them and sharing food. It was actually a blessing to have them, of which I thank God for them, because they came, and their stories and their experience at that time is what used to propel me, and actually everything that God does is in order. So that moment I did my primary education, that is back in 2012, of which I sat for my KCPE. The funniest thing now, you see, life was becoming a bit, I can say, a bit tough, because now my sister had to be distributed to some of my aunties to be taken care of, and the job that my mother used to work, actually, it was getting cash today, investing in food or something else, and there's no cash. So for me, passing my KCPE, it was not a very big deal or making sense to me, because actually, according to the look of things, I checked things, this cash cannot support me to go to high school. So I always did my best. I remember in 2011 in class 7, not actually class 7, in 2010, that is in class 6, I used to get max, that was it, 260, 270 out of the possible 500 marks. And the words from the teachers were very harsh, until one of this time, one of the teachers just encouraged me and told me that you have a good potential, and if you invest a lot of time and a lot of commitment in your education, you're going to make it. So I made a turnaround, and 2011, when I was in class 7, my marks started improving, 207 out of 500, and it picked up very well at a point that I used to get 300. Class 8, that is 2012, January, first term, it was a peak for me. I got 320, exciting. Actually, I could not believe that. I used even to start passing mathematics, getting 70 marks and above. It was a good thing for me. So my eyes were being opened, and I remember one of the teachers told me that your problem is not to sponsor yourself to high school. You get good marks, then everything will work. Somebody will come and take you to high school. So I made sure that I score high marks as possible in my exam. That is 2012 December is when I sat for my KCPE. I did my KCPE very well, and actually the results came out. There's a lot of background stories, of which actually I school at one of the public school, of which environment was not that good, and distance from home, it was, I can say, a bit not very far, a distance of around 10 kilometers from where I stay. So it was a morning. You wake up in the morning, make sure you run to school, and getting back in the evening. Then getting back to in the evening, because there was no one to do the house call, so I could get back, wash the utensil, cook, then go to do my studies. Doing my studies at that time, we did not have power, so we used to have the kerosene lamp. Or at some point, life was a bit hard, and there were no kerosene lamps, so I could just suspend my studies, or use that time my mother used to have a telephone that is called a Mulika Mwizi. So I used that torch to do my study. Things were a bit very harsh, but there was enough food. I can say that we didn't lack food, actually, but there was no extra cash for luxury. So after doing my course, I could go back and do my readings. Then in the morning, very early, 5, wake up, take a shower, and at 6 on my way to school. So I sat for my KCPE and did the exam. So I was anticipating to go to one of these top national schools in the country, of which my mom told me, actually you can make it. So I had all the support and all the moral support from my mother at that point. So the results came out, and we did our KCPE without cheating, actually, without cheating, from where I gave my best. So the results came. I remember at that time, the results came, and my mother wasn't around. So we received the results through the phone, I SMS. Then the results came. I was so excited. I got a B plus in my KCPE, an average of B plus. So it was exciting. So we waited for some time, then the results for joining high school came. A very, very, very good information indeed for me. So I secured a place in one of the national school in the country. Funny enough, when I told my mom, now these are the results that has come, that I'm going to join this national school, my mother actually, there was a mixture of emotion in her face. I could tell that, maybe she's shocked. But actually later I realized that now you're going to a national school, this I'm going to spend like 100,000 in a year paying for your fee, paying for your upkeep, paying for your fare back to and fro. So it was going to be a very tough journey for her. But you know, one thing that actually worked out very well for me, it's because I had faith and I prayed very much. So my mom did some application of sponsorship for Equity, for KCB. So I don't know what happened, but I was not qualified, or I didn't qualify to get the sponsors, or to get somebody to sponsor me to high school. So life was me, my mother, and God. So I joined high school in January. The funniest thing, my mother only had 10,000 to the time of my admission. So this 10,000 was supposed to cater for my fare, to buy me books, uniform, and take me to high school, of which the school fees at that time was 44,000 per term. So we traveled overnight to the high school that I was admitted, that is in Makueni Boys High School. So we reached there, the notice there that if you have not cleared school fees, you are not going to be admitted. So a shock for us. We have traveled overnight. The only cash that we have, it is 10,000, and it is the only thing that is ahead of us. So what my mother did, went to the principal. At that time, it was principal Mr. Mulinge, and he talked to him and told him that this is what I am able to raise, and this is what I can do. So after a small conversation, miraculously, when my mother was in the office with the principal, I was being the registration process was being carried on, and I don't know what happened, but God just did his thing. I was given an admission number, that is 7777, a very unique admission number. So I was given an admission number without clearing the fee. So the principal came already, admission has been done, and a fruitful conversation has taken place. So I was admitted into class, and that is the beginning of my high school story. Studying for 4 years without a sponsor, the salary for my mom actually could not even cater only for my transport for the whole year, because there were my sisters to be cared for, there were some bills to be paid, and shopping, and etc. So that is the how God brought me that far. And actually, it is my high school lessons, form one, no ups and down, first term, form two, life started being harsh. And actually, we can check in some reflection that during the next episode, I'm going to share how things went from form two to form four. Did I actually manage to get where I am, or did things actually worked out? And one of the life story that I have drawn into this experience from the time I have shared when my dad passed, and at this moment that I am in form one and a very confused guy, I don't know what I need in life or where I'm heading. But the good thing, I have landed into the best school in the country, a national school. My dream came true. I wanted to study in a national school, and I am here in a national school. God just worked in a way. And one thing, lesson that I have learned, that God cannot put you in a situation that is not able to sustain you there. And God just saw me through, and form one, things were good. Then another thing, in every down times in our lives, it is an awakening call that God is trying to tell you that you are in this condition, can you view a perspective view of life? At that point, you are on the ground, view life at that ground level. Actually, during the post-election violence, a lot of things were happening, and I was just saying, God, people are being killed. We have not been killed. We are not from this place, but here is where we have bought land. We don't have any place to go. And actually, the story that I shared about the passing on of my dad actually led to that. We were not able even to access the home where my dad was buried. We could not go there because there was some barrier. But actually, later on in life, I will share part of the story of how things happened. Forgiveness came, and just God worked in a way that we could not see or understand. But even in this moment that chaos are everywhere, it was an awakening call for me that God is actually working something. The post-election violence, God saved you. Primary school life, you were able to come out strongly, and you are able to pass your exam despite being in a very harsh environment in primary school. And in this moment, we should notice the direction where the light is coming from, because the moment you focus your face where the light is coming from, automatically the shadow will go at your back. So in the difficult moment, always seek where the light will come from, and God is going to see you through. Then another thing that I would like to share, it is from the Word of God. Actually, the Word of God has been my very, very good manual, my every time manual. I normally call it my reference book. Everything that I want, it is written here. And let me share from the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 16. And the Word of God reads, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So one thing that in every situation that you are in, or in every condition that you are in, the suffering that you are in, always acknowledge that there is God and there is our Father in heaven. And even in your down moments, let it be known that there is God, and the light of your salvation should continue to shine every time. Then another thing that I would like to share with you is to embrace the losses. At some point, you see you have lost everything, every hope in life, but embrace that losses and praise the Father in heaven. At that moment, I lost my father. Actually, I could not conceptualize that I don't have somebody to look up to as a man, and I don't have any person to call a mentor. So things were very hard. That life started hitting me when I was a teenager, when I realized that I wanted somebody to take me some place and to do some mentorship. But there are some things that I would like to draw from Philippians chapter 3 verse 8, where the Word of God reads, the Word of God reads, and it said, "Yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but a loss for excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them dung that I may win Christ." And everything that may be coming in your life, everything that may be coming in your position, that you're going to consider them like rubbish, they don't make sense, or they don't mean anything to you at that moment, for the sake of Christ. Because if you concentrate on these low moments, then you're going to miss the mark. You're going to miss the mark. Then there's another life story that I just drawn from the story of Paul, where he was talking in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 to 9. And I'll actually read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. And it says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Then that is verse 9 actually. Then let's go to 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measures through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measures. 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might be depart from me." One thing about that we learn from the life of Paul, that a thorn was put in his flesh. Remember, Paul was a servant of God, but God put that thorn in his flesh. And according to me, God was just trying to trim the life of Paul to remove the pride that will be there for his glory. And he's telling us in verse 9 that he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee," that even in that suffering, even that thorn that is there, I don't know what kind of thorn that is there. Look at my life back then. A lot of negative things happening, a lot of hopelessness. But God is saying, in that hard and in that horrible condition that you are in, I am going to make good thing out of it. And remember what? My grace is sufficient. Then my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in infirmity. So God will glorify himself in that infirmity. In harsh moments, rely on God. In hard moments, rely in God. And God is going to see you through. And I don't know what you are undergoing now. I don't know what horrible conditions that you are in. Like now, I know many people have lost their jobs at that point. Many people have lost maybe even focus in their lives. But what I'm going to tell you, that God is still there and is just waiting for you to come back. He's just waiting for you to come back. Don't check into the downs in your life to question the existence of God or to deny the existence of God, but check on what God is doing. Check on what God is doing in your life so that you may glorify him. And one thing, the joy in salvation is to give your life fully to Christ, not partially, but fully to Christ, to depend on him only. And at the end, you will come victorious. And one thing that will remain, that even during that down moment, that there's a lot of chaos, God is just making a symphony out of it, and be still and know that is God. At the end of it, I cannot tell you that tomorrow, today is going to be better, but even in that suffering, his grace is always sufficient for you, and he glory in that infinity. And at the end, people are going to praise your God in heaven because of your testimony. See me next time for another part B of this story. I tell you how I survived the high school harsh story, how I came through, and what happened to me. Did I get a sponsor, or did I just roll my boat up to the end? I hope today's podcast was a blessing to you. See you next time for more of this uplifting story. And remember to subscribe to this channel and share with your friends, share with your family for this message to reach many. At this month that you are doing something great in the kingdom of God, we want to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. At least one person reaching another person. So do this. Share the message, share the word of God from the scripture, and God is going to bless you. Have a blessed evening. See you next Friday, right here, right place. Once again, my name is Simiyu Nalianya, and this is Sim Radio, a radio where we impact the millennial with good content and clean content daily. Bye-bye. You're making me a fighter, fighter. You're taking me higher, higher. You're giving me the strength I need to believe. Life is worth living 'cause you love me.